I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most. I've sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. By the way, thanks again to Builder Supply Outlet, who brought you the big story. And congratulations to Cheryl, who won the Spamilton tickets.
All right.
Let's go to Dr. Most. Good morning, Kev.
Hey there. How are you?
I am, I feel like I turned a corner.
Yeah, you sound like you have, actually.
Yeah. I played 18 holes yesterday.
Well, then you know you have.
Yeah. And, it was obviously a beautiful day. And, there's no one cheering like on the 18th. You can make it, Steve!
Go, go,
you can make it.
Go.
You're in a cart. You'll be fine.
Go, 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 go.
Again, thanks to you and the fine people at CDH and Northwestern Medicine, back out and being a part of life again. It's been a long month, but I thank you as always.
Oh, no problem.
All right, so we're talking politics. Normally, we don't try to drag Dr. Most into politics, but here's an interesting tie. How long's it been since we talked about Poison?
Right.
Yeah. Not the rock band.
Mm-hmm.
No, Poison, as in the stuff that could kill you.
Yeah.
Right. And who's famous for trying to kill you? Kim Jong-un. See what I did there? See how I tied it all together?
Oh.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But this is an important thing, Doc, right? Because we've got stuff in our house that we need to be really careful about.
Absolutely. I mean, we do. We see the media, the cool poisoning things, and you see them in movies.
Like Putin. Putin's poisoning people left and right.
Yeah. Yeah. But we have to realize that, you know what? It happens at home. It happens here at... In all of our houses, we have opportunities to poison each other and poison our children, unfortunately. So, yeah, it's just a kind of a good reminder for people to understand what they can do in their own homes and then also what asset we have here in the state of Illinois that's going to allow you to get good information and protect your child.
Now, I've heard about a poison control line since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And I was a little kid when dinosaurs roamed the earth in the 70s. Yeah. Is it still available, the poison control line?
Absolutely. And, this is one part that the state should be proud of right now, but Rush University, Rush Medical Center, started our poison control line in 1953. We are the oldest poison control line in the country and one of the largest. And fortunately, it's been taken over now by the IHA, the Illinois Hospital Association. But we need some funding from the state to keep it open. They can't fund it completely by themselves. So there's a little bit of politics there as well. But it's probably a great resource that many people probably don't know they have, but very important because when you need it, you need it.
800-222-1222. 800-222-1222. Easy to remember. We'll post it on all social media. And Doc will do the same. And then, you should add it to your contacts right now.
Absolutely. Put it in your cell phones right now. You don't have to say, oh, gosh, I remember it was a really simple number. Was it a whole bunch of twos? Was it a whole? Just put it in there. Put it under poison. If you pick up my phone right now and look, it's there. It's the number one that pops up when you go to the letter P. It's poison control.
Yeah.
It's simple. We use it in the office. Doctors use it all the time. But you want to have that number handy in case something happens and you have a question.
Going through your list, Doc, it's incredible. The things that we have every day in our homes that can lead to poisoning, including aspirin and mouthwash.
Yeah. Simple things that are around, and like you said, mouthwash. People don't realize how much alcohol is in mouthwash. Alcohol's in mouthwash because alcohol allows bacteria in your mouth to be killed for a short period of time. But the bad thing is that there's quite a bit of alcohol in some of these. We have some that are 15-20%. And you're like, oh, who cares? You're just swishing it around and spitting it out. Yeah, but you're not when you're a little kid. You see a parent do that, and then it's like great blue colors or red colors. It looks like they're Kool-Aid. And it doesn't take a whole bunch for a little 25-pound kid to get legally drunk and actually can go into a coma if they take too much. So it's one of those where you want to make sure you don't leave it on the counter, put it away, and be really careful with it.
What is syrup of Ipecac?
So syrup of Ipecac, and this goes back, Steve,
my grandmother talking about it.
Absolutely. Everyone used to have it in their house. Boy, Timmy ate too many of these. Give him syrup of Ipecac and he's going to throw up. And we'll get that out of his system. So it's a syrup that makes you vomit. And the bad thing is it makes you continue to vomit for a short period of time. You don't want to, people used to use it all the time for poisonings. Oh, he ate too much of this. Give him syrup of Ipecac. No, it's not the best thing to do. Make sure you talk to a professional, because there's some where we don't want to give that at all. We want to stay as far away from that as possible, because we have other medications that are actually going to treat the ingestion that you had.
How about vitamins? I mean, I know we as adults, I take the gummy just because I like the taste. But kids, you can overtake vitamins, right?
Well, you know, and you were mentioning aspirin.
Yes.
Yeah. When Doc, you and I are the same age. When we were kids, there was an aspirin called Congesperin, which I don't think they make anymore, which was orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it tasted chewable. Great.
Oh, it's like a baby aspirin.
Chewable orange aspirin.
Yeah, and I remember that.
Yeah. Congesperin. And I had a cousin, did about a half bottle of it one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're in a hospital and the stomach pumping and all of that. So, but the vitamins, any of the stuff that tastes good, I think this is where you're going, right?
Yeah, the gummies, the Flintstones, anything that tastes good. Kids can mistake that for candy or something sweet.
Exactly. You know, think about gummy bears. We have vitamins that look like gummy bears. Well, if I'm a little kid, it's okay if I eat a handful of gummy bears, right? So, boy, there's a jar of gummy bears on the counter there. Unfortunately, it's not okay, especially if they have iron in them, which unfortunately some do now. So if it has iron in it, it's very concerning how many they ate. You want to make sure that you can at least guess how many they ate and kind of watch that. If they don't have iron in them, kid's going to get a little upset stomach, might get a little nauseated, but the water-soluble vitamins will be cleared. The fat-soluble vitamins will be stored, but it's going to be more of a discomfort. But iron can cause a lot of damage not only to the stomach as you first ingest it, but then also to the brain and the liver and the kidneys later on, like, you know, 2 days, 3 days later.
What else is in the medicine cabinet that we got to be worried about?
Well, you know, Steve, it's kind of interesting. You're talking about aches and pains and taking aspirin. You know, how about Bengay? You know, the old Bengay that I went out for a walk now and I'm going to rub some of that on. Mm-hmm. That, again, has aspirin-like products in it. That equivalent of a teaspoon of it is close to 20 aspirin.
Oh, you're kidding.
So you're talking about a kid who says, you know what, I'm going to try some of that. I'm going to take some of that or even taste some of it because they like the smell of it. Is a scary one.
So it'd be all of those, right? Icy hot, everything in that category.
Yep, they all have salicylates in them, and that's the biggest toxic thing for that product in kids.
All right, so if you are concerned that your kid's gotten into something, or you've mistakenly taken something, or whatever, and you call the poison control line, I'm sure they're going to talk you through what to do next. But if for some reason you're not on the phone with a pro or with a doc, what do you not do? What do you do?
Yeah, the first thing you don't do is, like I said, don't give them syrup of Ipecac. That's the worst thing you can possibly do.
Thanks, Grandma.
If you say, hey, you know what, I'm taking them straight to the doctor, that's fine. You can do that. When you get to the doctor's office or you get to the emergency room, I'll tell you, we use the poison control line all the time. As a matter of fact, out of the close to 100,000 calls to that line, almost a quarter of them are us, our doctors calling, saying, all right, here's the situation. Here's the child. Here's how old they are. Here's the dose of what we think that they took. I have the bottle in front of me, and let me walk you through that. And then that's probably the most important thing is at least get care. Don't try to care for itself, and don't say, oh, I'm just going to put Timmy to sleep, and we'll see, make sure that he's better in the morning.
But how about us as adults, too? I mean, if we accidentally, you know, if we're on high cholesterol or antidepressants, Motrin, anything even of that simple, Doc, and maybe you have a glass of wine or something that doesn't agree with you, and you think you might be, you know, toxic, for lack of a better word, what should we do?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Anytime you start a new medication, you should always have that discussion with your doctor. Your doctor is going to probably say it to you, hey, you know what, don't use excessive alcohol with this medication. But you have to know what it is, because it's so interesting when you look at the list of drugs that can interact with alcohol. I bet you all of your listeners listening right now that are taking any medication don't know whether or not they can have a drink or two drinks with that.
I bet you're right.
In fact, you know, there's a lot out there that can cause problems. I mean, think about it. How many people in the world are on statins right now? Tons of people.
Sure.
But the combination of statins and alcohol can cause liver damage, can cause, you know, increased bleeding in your stomach. So concerning. How many people are on blood pressure medicine? 10% of the country is on antidepressants. Antidepressants and alcohol have a bad combination. So it's always good to have that discussion with your doctor to make sure that you know what you're talking about and know that what medications you're on.
Because of all the medical stuff I've been dealing with in the last month, if I heard this question once, I heard it a million times. Are you allergic to any meds? And there's one in particular that we found out just accidentally a few years ago called Lisinopro.
Uh-huh.
And my throat shut down and, you know, for whatever. My biochemistry in this particular drug didn't work.
Yep.
Is that technically poisoning if you're home alone and you take something and you feel an allergic reaction, or do you call a different number for that?
No, you can call that number, to be honest with you. But if you get if you take a medicine and you think you're having an allergic reaction, in other words, you start to itch, you hide, you get short of breath, or you start to feel like your throat's closing up, call 911.
Okay.
Do not try to drive to the hospital. Do not try to drive to any healthcare facility. Call 911 because they can give you the medicine, the epinephrine medicine, right then and there to at least slow that down to get you to a position where you can be safely treated.
And if you are poisoned accidentally or by Vladimir Putin, keep whatever unused portion of what you think you took because docs are going to need to know what it is, right?
Correct. You know, you say, oh, it was a vitamin. We want to know exactly what the vitamin was. We want to know the strength of the vitamin. We want to know what it was. And you'll tell us it is Little Critters Gummy Bear X. I can tell you the databases that they have now for these can look that up, can tell you exactly what was in it, can see exactly what that child weighed. They do the math for you. You don't have to do anything fancy. They are going to tell you what to do.
Doc, can you be poisoned or can you get poisoning from old medicine, something that's a year or two old and you accidentally take it or too much of it?
Well, too much of it, absolutely. But old medicine usually is going to lose some of its potency. And as it loses its potency, it won't be as effective. So what we see there is people say, oh, you know what? Boy, that didn't seem to work. I'm going to take another one. And boy, two of them, maybe I'll take a third. And at that point, then you get to the toxic range because the medication is still there. It's just not working as well. And now you've essentially self-poisoned yourself.
It's Dr. Kevin Most with good advice, as always, and courtesy of our friends at Northwestern Medicine.